But today we're moving on in our Sermon on the Mount series, Hearing the Heart of Christ, and we're coming to some final thoughts of Jesus, and that's really what they are, just some final thoughts. And so there may not be an exact flow to some of these thoughts, but today we are going to be looking at seeking the Lord. And if you'd turn with me, we'll just go right into our scripture today, Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 7. Matthew 7, 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. This is one of those passages that can be a difficult passage. Not in that it's confusing, it's pretty clear to understand, but it gets difficult when life seemingly doesn't just go like that. How many of us have asked God for something? How many of us asked God for healing, maybe for ourselves or for someone else? How many of us have asked God for provisions? How many of us have asked God to move a mountain, something that would require a miracle? And out of all of those who have asked God for something, how many of you didn't get the results you were hoping for? That verse 7 says, ask and it'll be given to you. You want to know something? There's times that I have asked God and it wasn't given. At least not in the way that I wanted. How many of you have asked for healing? Maybe it was for someone else. Instead of getting healing, that person passed away. How many of you may have asked for help and the only thing that you got was a feeling of being alone? I asked, but I didn't get. Now I'm wondering if God even cares. Actually, maybe more specifically, I'm wondering if God really cares about me. Some of you might be listening to this and going, I'm not really sure about this. But if you have not been in that position in your life, you're a blessed person. Because there are a lot of people that have struggled with this. I read in Scripture and it says, ask and it'll be given. And I asked and I didn't get. What's going on? Sometimes when we ask God, we may have to actually look at our own motives. Sometimes when we ask God for something, it might be asking with wrong motives or for selfish reasons. And James, he hits on that in James 4, 2 through 4. You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Again, James is hitting on a couple of points here, and he does say he does bring up the point that we need to bring our needs to God. We need to share with Him what's going on, but we have to be careful that we are not asking out of worldly motives or selfishness. Which, let's be honest, our sinful nature, if we allow, will move us to wrong motives. We also like to to try and ask God in a way that really is kind of bargaining with God. You know, something may sound like this. I know I broke the law and I'm sorry, God, but now I'm facing jail. And God, if you help me out of this, I'll be better at going to church. God, I'm going through a really difficult time and I realize that much of it is my fault because of my poor choice. But God, if you help me out, I'll be better. Now, I am not going to say that God cannot answer those prayers. I'm not going to say that God will not help in a way that's asked, but for the most part, our consequences are rightly ours to bear. Buying a lottery ticket and praying that God will give you the winning ticket and that you'll tithe that amount of what you get. It's selfishness. But I also think there are many of us, so that's looking at, you know, there's some bad motives, there's some selfishness involved, and I could have given lots of variety of examples, but I also think there are many of us who have asked God, and we have had good motives, and still not received the answer that we were praying for. Oftentimes, I believe we don't get an answer that we're praying for, even when we have good motives, because we don't see the fuller picture as God does. We might not realize that such a request may be harmful to us or may be harmful to others. We cannot understand because we are not all-knowing like God. We might get a different answer because it wasn't in line with God's will of what we were asking for. And though we might not understand, God answers in a different way. So I'm going to talk a little more about ask, seek, and knock. But I really feel that we have to look at verses 9 through 11 and then come back to asking, seeking, and knocking. So if you want to go ahead and move ahead in your Bible to verse 9, and we're going to read 9 through 11. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You see, if your child who is hungry comes up to you and asks you for some bread, for some food, we wouldn't give them a stone. And the same is if they ask for a fish, we wouldn't give them a snake. Bread and fish were staple foods at that time, and they're seen as things to provide for the physical needs. And we would give food to our hungry children. We would. Then Jesus makes a statement, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. I'm kind of wanting to say, hey, hold on, wait a second. Is he talking about me in this or talking to us? I don't think I'm evil. Do you? Are we evil? And maybe that phrase there is there to gain our attention. But each and every one of us, we're fallen. We're not perfect. We can go a little further and say we have a depravity. We have a sinful nature. And because of Jesus Christ, he has made us new and we are forgiven, but we still need to deal with our sinful nature. And that's going to pull us to chase after worldly things and desires. And it does affect us. So getting back to where we're not perfect, yet we still know how to give good gifts. At least when it comes to, I'm going to give a good gift to my child. If they're hungry, I'm going to give them food. But how much more will your Father in heaven, who is perfect in every way, who gave you life and sees you as a pinnacle of his creation and knows us before we were born, how much more will he give good gifts to those who ask? Now, good gifts is how Matthew writes this. If you look at a different account, especially in Luke's account, instead of saying good gifts, Luke, he changes the words a little bit and he says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So we see that in these two accounts, gifts and Holy Spirit, they seem to be related. Is it a gift of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit as a gift? It could be either or. But I think they are related. But the Father will give to those who ask because he is a perfect Father. So what is Jesus getting at here? Our Father in heaven, he's a good God. And he will take care of us. God is good. He's good all the time. In 1 Chronicles 16:34, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And similar in Psalm 105, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." And I know I've brought similar phrases in different messages in the past. I've preached on this. And I almost have to, because this phrase, it comes up 11 different times, worded maybe the same or close to the same, 11 different times in separate passages in 5 different books. Everything that we know and understand and do must be filtered through the lens, filtered through the understanding that God is a good God. He is a good Father. We might not always understand his ways. We might not always understand his will. But the one thing we can know for sure is that he is a good God and he gives to those who ask and seek him. So now I'm going to step back in that first passage we looked at in verses 7 through 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. To ask is to look to God in all times and in all circumstances. Come to the Father who is good. Ask. Ask God questions. Ask for provisions. Ask God for what's on your heart. Look to God in every moment. The good and awesome times, we're looking to God. In the dark times, the hard times, we look to God. And when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we become citizens of the heavenly kingdom. We might live in a world that's broken and sinful, but we're not of it. I realize you've probably heard this dozens of times, but as a kingdom citizen, we go to God. We go to the Lord in humility, knowing who already knows our need, but we still ask. We still look to God. John 14:12 through 15, I'd like to read that for you. "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command." So one of the things I see from this passage is that there is a faith that leads to be more like Christ. I trust in the Lord. I put my faith in him, and it's going to lead me to be more like him. asking for something is really not a free-for-all. It is asking in a way that follows Christ. Does that make sense? Lord, give me $1 million. Is that what Jesus prayed? Do we ever see that in there? So when we're praying and asking for things, we are praying and asking in a way that is similar to what Christ would have prayed or asked for. Did he ask for provision? Yes, when he fed 5,000. But he was looking to meet the needs of the people. We can pray for others. And also another thing that Jesus asked for, Jesus in the garden, he says, Father, take this cup from me, not my will, but yours be done. What did Jesus ask? He asked God in prayer before his betrayal, before his beatings, before he was crucified on the cross. He asked the Lord to take this cup from me. But then he says, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus asked, but he made it clear that ultimately he wanted God's will to be done. And remember the Lord's Prayer that we went through a few weeks ago, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's another prayer that is an example for us to pray. It needs to be in our vocabulary. Lord, let your will be done in me, in my life, in my family, in my work, in everything around me. We're praying that his will be done. So when we verbally pray or when we say a prayer to ourselves, it may not be spoken, Lord, let your will be done, but it certainly needs to be room left for that. No matter what I ask for, as good a motive as I may have, I ultimately want God's will to take precedent. That's ask. Now seek. This might be a short explanation, but seeking the Lord is continuing to pursue God's will. Seeking is taking time, connecting with our Heavenly Father, connecting with Him in prayer, connecting in Him in His Scripture, connecting in a relationship. It is connecting and making God's will our will, connecting God's truths to our understanding. Psalm 14:2. Oops, too far. 14:2 says, the Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. I think when many people in this world face a life-changing trauma or life-changing event, many will cry out to God. I've heard it many times say there's no such thing as atheists in foxholes, and that's referring to in time of war when the bombs and the shelling and the bullets are going and you have soldiers hiding for their lives or trying to keep from getting hit, that ultimately a lot of them, whether they believe in God or not, will still cry out to Him. And I'm bringing that up as it's one thing to cry out to God, but seeking God goes a whole different way. It's not just crying out to God. It is actually seeking and pursuing God. Seeking is more than just crying out. It's pursuing that personal connection. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. In Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Seeking is following and chasing after the Lord and the Lord's will. So we've looked at ask, we've looked at seek, and now let's look at knock. Knock is kind of like asking, only with persistence. But asking is really wanting more of the Lord? How much do you want to grow in the Lord? How much do you want to follow Him and His ways? How much do you want to resemble our example of Jesus? See, knocking is moving to action. You know, I could go and visit someone at their house, and I could go to their front door and just kind of like peek around. I wonder if anyone will see me out here. Just kind of stand, maybe look in a window. Kind of creepy. If I want to get their attention, what am I going to do? I got to be pressing the doorbell. I got to be knocking. It is actually physically doing something, moving to get their attention. And when we look at how we could apply this in this scripture today, knocking is moving to action. It's moving, moving to action and like being persistent in God's word, seeking to fully understand His scriptures, confidently and persistently and actively seeking God's will. I know God is good, and I want His good will in my life. I realize there are going to be times I ask for things that may be outside of God's will. I may ask for things that get answered in a way that I wasn't expecting, and I may struggle with an answer that He gives. But I'm going to pursue an answer. And I'm going to pursue to understand His answer and His will. I will persist and I will press in and pursue a closeness with Christ. It is an active role to take as knocking. And with expectation, I know that my good God will answer my prayers in His perfect way. There may be times that my act of pursuit will require me to do things that might also be out of my comfort zone. Sometimes an answer to prayer is actually me stepping up. I wanted a closeness with God back in 2005, 2006. I felt a little bit unsure that God was maybe wanting something different from me, and so I'm asking God what His will was. What do you want from me, God? And He asked me to go to ministry. Hold on. That's not what I was looking for. Sometimes He gives us an answer that may be out of the blue, that may not be what we're looking for, but it is still the answer if it's His will that we need to actively pursue. Where is the Lord taking you? Where is your pursuit going to bring you? And will you trust the Lord in every way? Will you walk through the open door even when you didn't plan for that door to open? Because God might open a door in answering your prayer. Will you trust Him? And part of this passage was God gives good gifts. And that gift is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will show you direction. He will empower you for what He's called you to do if you allow Him. God is a good God. And you can trust Him. And I would say pursue His will, even if it's not our will. We need to make His will our will.